Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles, the Oklahoma State football podcast. I am your host, Scott Wright, joined by Jacob Unruh.
We're recapping Oklahoma State's 58-44 victory in the season opener over Central Michigan.
Well, I really like this offense. Yeah, I really like the speed. I like Spencer Sanders. He looks even better than he did last year, and he looked really good last year. And if they play with this tempo, a lot of teams are going to struggle to stop them, and I think that's good. I liked what I saw from defense mostly in the first half. Second half was concerning.
The pace of the offense was the thing that impressed me more than anything. I don't remember a time last year when they played as efficiently and effectively as they were playing with in this game tonight. So to see that right out of the gate, when you've got guys that are, they're not in mid-season shape, conditioning-wise, they're not, not keeping pace in that way yet. The ceiling for what this offense can be in terms of its pace is very incredible. So, I'm very curious to see the next step for this offense in terms of kicking this pace up even faster, because everybody that we talked to in post game said yes, this was fast, and yes, we can go faster. So that's what's really going to be impressive as we move forward. Now, moving over to the defensive side of the ball, definitely some questions left to be answered, wouldn't you say, Jacob?
Absolutely. We didn't know what to expect out of this defense coming in, but we had an idea on the defensive line, which got pressure but didn't get to the quarterback a lot tonight. But I think that was Central Michigan's design to get rid of the ball fast. But the linebackers had their big moments. They had some up and down moments. Mason Cobb was off to a great start, played really, really well, I thought, overall. Led the team in tackles. And then you look at it, and the secondary, I think, struggled at times. Kendall Daniels had a big night and did well, had his first interception, had 11 tackles as well. Jason Taylor had a good night. But there's a lot of passing yards, a lot of plays that kind of got some guys, and that was concerning. But Derek Mason afterwards said that, he felt like that, he's got to get these guys to learn how to go for the kill a little bit more. And that really – stands out to me that, this is a group that's so inexperienced and capable of making big plays. They just got to figure out how to come together. Communication was an issue they brought up. And I think if they get this figured out, I liked what I saw in spurts. So I think they have a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, the tough thing for me to judge with this this defense is it's the dominance that they played with last year is still sort of fresh in our minds. And, it's hard to gauge, what a less than dominant defense should look like, because you don't expect them to be at the same level of last year's defense. But where is the bar in terms of what they should be and what they can be without comparing them to last year too much? So that's the thing that's going to be tricky to figure out with these guys is, what's the bar for the linebackers? What level do they need to be at for this defense to be effective? Same with the guys in the secondary, in particular, the new guys. Mike Gundy kept talking in postgame over and over again, pointing out how young these guys are. And even though some of them aren't quote-unquote young, they're young as starters. And they're making their first starts in a lot of cases and being thrown into the fire in a different way than they ever have been before. And I think that's the thing that is going to be really important for them to take the steps that they need to take to show the progress they're capable of and figure out exactly where they're going with this defense. Because when you look at the guys that they lost off of this defense, you got multiple guys off of this defense from a year ago that are in the NFL right now that made opening rosters. and the drop off is going to happen, no matter what. It's just a matter of guys like Kendall Daniels and Mason Cobb and Xavier Benson learning what their roles are going to be and how to best be as effective as possible in those roles. So it's a really complicated thing to try to figure out what exactly this defense is capable of and what direction they're going to go from this, because they had some moments when they looked really good. And then they had some moments when there were obvious questions. So you mentioned Kendall Daniels. I talked about him a bit, but you know, he did not get the start, which was a little bit of a surprise. Mm-hmm. But really played, I thought, a pretty exceptional game myself.
Yeah, he was equally as impressive as everyone anticipated him to be. And you know, that's exactly what you want to find from a guy that, you know, is a second year player that is highly touted as he is, with the capabilities he has, the 6'4" frame. You know, he got the interception, which is a really good play for him and good booster. And I asked him, I said, you know, you talked to me in the preseason about, you know, you wanted to come in here and play immediately and you didn't get that chance. And that was kind of a bummer, but is this what you envisioned when you got your chance? And he basically said, no, not really. He said, I kind of thought I'd come in here and not really have any tackles, just kind of play a game and be solid and make things work. And then it turns out he had 11 tackles. And it's like the interception, he said, yeah, I kind of envisioned that, though. He said, my first high school game, I had an interception. So I thought, you know, it'll come full circle and I'll get another interception. And, you know, and I was like, oh, all right. And so, you know.
Got to love the confidence.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, you like that. And, you know, you talk with guys with, like Jason Taylor was really high on him in post-game, and Derek Mason was too. And, you know, that's good. I think that's a guy that I think is really going to emerge as in the next few weeks as he starts to get more and more comfortable with the game and the speed and really improve.
All right, moving back to the offensive side of the ball, I would say the biggest question that did not really get even a hint of an answer really was – the running back situation,
yeah,
and what things are going to look like behind Dominic Richardson. I think, you know, it's obviously established that Richardson is the guy. He averaged 6.8 yards a carry, even though he didn't get a kind of ton of carries. Only 9 attempts tonight, 61 yards and a touchdown. But it's, you know, it seems pretty clear that Jaden Nixon is right there, ready to be the number two guy. You know, and he's a little bit of a change of pace from Richardson, but you know, Ollie Gordon had a couple of moments. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't get to see C.J. Brown. You know, Zach Middleton scores a touchdown, which was really cool to see. And you know, DeAndre Jackson still dealing with the transcript issue that he mentioned on Twitter on Wednesday. So just, you know, only 17 carries for running backs, and a lot of those came late when they were just trying to run out the clock. So it's really hard to get an idea what exactly the running back rotation is going to look like, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this game I kind of wonder what we get an idea of anyways. I wasn't sure we get an idea what the defense is going to be like with Derek Mason entirely. That, and then once you lost DeAndre Jackson, I kind of thought, we may not get a full example of what this running back group could do. But, you know, you got to like what you saw from Dominic Richardson, like you mentioned. I liked what I saw from Jaden Nixon and Ollie Gordon's spin move. Oh, my gosh. That spin move was ridiculous.
Right. That was very quick and very tight. It was very impressive.
And he caught the ball well. That was on a reception. I thought Ollie Gordon, yeah, as a receiver was pretty impressive. And so they got some answers there, the things they could do. Running backs think it's going to work. But, yeah, I had no idea how they're going to disperse carries. But that's the, you know, beauty of the next 2 weeks. I think they can get that figured out a little bit heading into Baylor and after the bye week.
Yeah, really. That was one thing I was really looking forward to learning a little bit about, and don't feel like we learned a ton. So very interesting. We should address the injuries. Blaine Green did not play as expected. That wrist injury sounds like it's pretty significant. Hard to say exactly when he might return. Now, he was a true freshman last year. He can come back and play four games or fewer this year, and still save a season, still redshirt. You know, if he ends up being out a really extended period of time. Jaden Bray did not play as well. Undisclosed injury there. That sounds like it happened. You know, not too long ago in the recent past. Mike Gundy essentially called him week to week, basically in his post game. We had heard that Jake Schultz wasn't going to play, and then the walk on from Prague gets in the game and makes his first career catch. So, interesting twist there. So, you know, it was sounding like it might be a little bit nerve wracking with some of the injury rumors that were floating around earlier in the day, but it didn't turn out to be too terribly bad, and didn't seem to be anybody that really got dinged up too bad in the course of the game. So that was important as well. So anything else, Jacob, in terms of things we expected, didn't expect, things that stood out?
Yeah, I still go back to Spencer and just the way he played. And Braden Johnson, I think, too, needs to be mentioned here and how he came back and looked like the veteran and stepped into the Z position very, very well, position he asked to play. And
got
so
targeted 10 times, caught 6 passes for 133 yards.
Career highs, all the touchdowns, the receptions and the yards were all career highs. So that's big time.
Yeah, it was. Brennan Presley was solid as well. 5 catches for 83. J.P. Richardson had the big touchdown early and ended up with 73 yards. So a great start for him. So the receivers, I thought, all were very effective in not a lot of drops. One or two maybe, but not a ton. We got to talk about the target punting, because that's the first thing that Mike Gundy mentioned as soon as he stepped to the podium. That's what we had to hear about, was the target punting and how great things were from Tom Hutton and the coverage unit. So A-plus for those guys right off the top, because otherwise Gundy wouldn't have talked about it so highly. So, all right man, we've arrived at the car. I assume this is our natural ending point for this. Anything, I guess we'll finish with my regular question, the most important thing I forgot. Anything else that's out there?
Ooh, anything that you forgot? Let's see. The new turf. That new turf is bright.
Oh,
the green.
That is
the green is just as bright as the orange, and it kind of feels funny. So I want to ask some players about that.
Yeah, I'm curious what the players how they feel about it. It feels weird walking on it. Very different than what I've been on before. So I wonder what it's like to play on, how slippery it might be, or squishy. Very curious about all of that. So, all right, with that said, I think this is the perfect ending point for our post-game Twitter Spaces / podcast. So thanks to all who listen, and we'll be next Tuesday out at Stone Cloud for our new midweek podcast, which is also a YouTube video. So stick with us for all the fun things that we're doing here on the Cowboy Chronicles podcast, and thank you very much for listening.